Andrea, you're in the office today?
I am.
Wow, great.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
make it in here every so often.
Yeah, I think we often catch you working at home.
We've got a lot of falling behind in office stuff, and I need that focus of being separated from everything but the actual work.
I can understand that.
I spent way too long putting together a presentation. Way too long.
Yeah.
That was the awakening that it needed a little bit of a scenery change.
Well, and I don't know what your home office is like, but trying to do things on a laptop, especially putting together a presentation or editing documents with one screen, is so challenging.
I hope others got your looks like others got your email about joining the call today. Looks like Diane and Sue are on.
Yeah, and I did think Graham and Joel were both planning to attend, but I don't see them yet. But they may join in process.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and get started because I'm very interested to hear more about our long range plan update. We've got several people on the call, and we'll just have people introduce themselves as they speak, but we'll call to order the March 2nd Des Moines Water Works Planning Committee meeting.
Very good, Andrea. I'll kick it off if I may. As you mentioned, today's topic is an update of Des Moines Water Works' most recent long range plan in 2017. HDR Engineering completed what we call our 2040 long range plan for water supply here in the Des Moines metro area. The plan included numerous recommendations, both in source treatment, transmission, distribution, kind of across the board. And we thought that as we near the conclusion, what we believe to be the conclusion of our regional discussions and hopefully move into the next phase of that process, it would be prudent to have HDR to take a look at that plan and the timelines in that plan and give us an update to see if we're the timeline is the same or couldn't be extended or needs to be accelerated. And so we did ask HDR to do that for us, and Mark Dubin is here today from HDR to share his update. I think that you will see from Mark's presentation that it is indeed now appropriate for us to move ahead with our planning for capacity expansion, but I will let Mark share his presentation and then we can answer any questions you might have. So, Mark, thank you for being here and please take it away.
All right. This worked once. We'll see if it works again here. Are you all seeing the first slide of a PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, very good. I will dig in. The Des Moines Water Works Long Range Plan was last completed in September 2017. And now we're updating elements of the plan and reporting on the progress of the planned capital improvements that came out of the plan. We've collected water production data for all the water treatment plants and aquifer storage and recovery facilities for the years 2015 through 2020, since the plan was completed. We've collected water demand data for other major water users since the long range plan was completed in 2017. These are new major water users that have been developed since the plan completion. We've updated historic water demands using the collected water production data for 2015 to 2020. We've updated the water demand projections in each five-year time window from 2025 through 2040. The long-range plan, as completed, went out through the year 2040, so we're maintaining that timeline. We've updated the production facility requirements for the additional capacity that will be required in 2025 through 2040, and then updated the status of the high priority improvements, the five-year capital improvements program from the long-range plan, to report which improvements have been completed and which have not been completed. And now we're reporting to your Des Moines Water Works Board of Trustees, and then later to representatives of the entire metro region. So the 2017 long-range plan provided historic and projected populations, historic and projected water demands, projected water production requirements, and it used historic data from the years 1920 to 2015. Now the historic water demand data has been updated from 2016 through 2020, but the historic population data has not been updated since the 2020 census data is not available yet, and the last I've seen may not be available till nearly the end of September now. The historic and projected average day demand for Des Moines Water Works for the last 100 years, literally, is shown in the figure below here. This is a couple things to point out. This is kind of illustrative purposes only, but it really shows your Des Moines Water Works only demand. It doesn't include the additional demand of the other producers that are part of, you know, feed into the metro region. But a couple things to point out here. The green triangles are the data from 1920 through 2015 that were used in the development of the long-range plan completed in 2017. The light green triangles to the right are the last year's worth of data, 6 years, the 2015 through 2020, the new data that was collected. And you can see this is average day demand. You see some variability year to year, and we'll talk more about that when I get to the maximum day demand, but certainly some variability year to year. But it does show, you know, that upward trend that really shows the whole metro area's growth in population and commercial and industrial water demand over time. And the heavy linear line, green line kind of through the middle, is really the linear line based on all the data 1920 through 2015. The upper blue line is a linearization, it's hard to say, of the of really the peak, the top end demand data, and the red line on the bottom is a linear line of the low demand data, the low side. So in between, really straddle all the data between the high and the low, and you can see the difference there. A little more to talk about with the maximum demand data here. This is the same thing, 100 years worth of data, but this is your maximum day demand from any given year. Same thing, the previous data in dark green, the new data in light green, 2015 through 2020. You see even more variations here, more swings from high to low. Really, this demand especially is highly influenced by weather. You know, those peaks, the high end top peaks are really representative of those dry years, the drought type years. And the last peak represented is from 2012, really the last real dry year, approaching a real drought year that we had in the area. And you can see, you know, maybe only between 2 and 3 years between a low point and a high point, those swings are very pronounced year to year, and every few years from the low side representing the really wet conditions, wet years, and the high side representing the really dry years. And the recent data, you can see it kind of hugging the low side, that really the recent years have been wet. But kind of the takeaway here, highly influenced by weather conditions, and those hot, dry weather conditions really influence those peak maximum day demands that we design for. This table is a summary of the water production in the metro area. This is from new data that was collected by Des Moines Water Works staff. Each year, average day, maximum day data from all the different entities represented across the top, all the different entities that do produce water and feed into the total metro system, in addition to your Des Moines Water Works, 3 water treatment plants, and 3 aquifer storage and recovery facilities. So if you focus in on the far right, that's the total of all the water production in the metro region. And for 2020, those numbers show an average day of a little over 60 MGD, million gallons per day, and a maximum day of a little over 106 MGD in 2020. Also, Des Moines Water Works staff contacted the City of Altoona, City of Waukee, and West Des Moines Water Works really to find out more about additional new major water users. This is new demand, new maximum day demand that has developed since the 2017 long range plan was completed. So it's prudent to determine what additional demand beyond what's been planned for already is out there. Altoona has a major water user that runs about 350,000 gallons per day maximum. That's predicted to increase with their additional growth to about 500,000 gallons per day by 2025. And you can see how we've added that demand year to year going forward. Similarly with the City of Waukee, with a major water user at about 750,000 gallons per day to be developed over 20 years, we've added that demand in year to year going forward. And then with West Des Moines Water Works, with a new large customer at 5 MGD to be developed over about 5 years, and that demand spread through time. So you can see the bottom line with about a 1 MGD of additional new demand in 2022, all the way up to about 5.5 MGD of additional demand by 2030. And that's been added into the totals from the long range plan. Now, population and demand summary in this table. The next few tables we'll look at are kind of a similar theme, that the numbers in black are the numbers from the 2017 plan, and the numbers in red are those updates with the new data and the new additions to the plan, the update. You can see the population is unchanged. We don't have the new census data yet, so that's not updated. You can see the new numbers in red for average day and maximum day from the 2015 and 2020 new data. The new demand, that's those new major water users that have developed since the plan was completed, and their additional demand programmed through the years 2025 through 2040. And then on the bottom line, the new maximum day demand, the updated numbers, 2015, 2020, all the way out through 2040, really showing a total maximum day demand in the future in 2040 of about 195 MGD. A few key points from that table. The actual 2020 average day demand was just over 60 MGD versus a projection of 62.5. So only 3.7% less than projected. So the average day demand is tracking very well with the long range plan projections through 2020. The actual 2020 maximum day demand was just over 106 MGD versus a projection of 135 MGD, or 21% less than projected. The mid to late summer of 2020 was drier than normal, but overall the year was not an extreme drought year, where irrigation demand makes up a significant portion of the overall demand to produce, you know, one of those extreme peaks like we just looked at in your historic data. Last year, while it was a bit dry, was not one of those years that would produce a design maximum day peak year. The drought conditions were more extreme in west central and northwest Iowa, but not as severe locally in the Des Moines metro area to drive that design peak. Your historic maximum day demands have occurred generally earlier in the summer season, when the earlier hot and dry conditions result in more extensive irrigation water use. That's just kind of a note from history. We didn't see that last year with that hot and dry conditions developing later in the summer. So since the actual average day demand has been very close to the projections, both the average day demand and maximum day demand projections of the 2017 long range plan will be unchanged, with the new planned major water user demands added into those totals. This table summarizes all those treatment facilities that produce water and feed into the system. Your three plants with Fluor, McMullen, and Sailorville, totaling 110 MGD, and then the rest of the plants of the additional entities that feed into the system shown here. And we have updated, one update in the system is that Grimes is in the process of expanding their plant by 1 MGD, and that update has been reflected here. And similarly, with a summary of the aquifer storage and recovery facilities, same story, the long-range plan numbers are in black. The updates are shown in red. You know, a few things to point out here, the McMullen ASR at the McMullen plant was shown as 3.5 MGD in the long-range plan. It's really closer to 3.1 MGD capacity, and that's been corrected here. The Waukee future ASR number one, Waukee still has plans to do an ASR. However, their current plans are for a 1.44 MGD facility and not 2.5 MGD as previously reported. And the other key point, the Des Moines Water Works future ASR number four and West Des Moines Water Works future ASR number one were both programmed or planned in the long range plan to be complete and online by 2020. And neither were online. Actually, neither is in design and ready to go online at all. They are programmed to be online by 2025 in this update. So you can see across the bottom, we've really got the ASR capacity reported three different ways. The fixed capacity with all of the facilities in service, a firm capacity with one facility out of service, and a firm capacity with two facilities out of service. And we've settled in on a midpoint of the range between one ASR out of service and two ASRs out of service, really for this update of the plan, mainly because by 2025, it's projected that there'll be eight ASRs in service in the metro, and then by 2040, a total of 10. So with that many facilities, 8 to 10 in service, it's highly likely that at least one will be out of service at any given time, and still fairly likely that two could be out of service. So we've kind of keyed in on midpoint between one and two out of service as a evaluated firm capacity. Now this table, real busy, but it really incorporates all of what we've just reviewed, pulls it all together in one table, and then evaluates the production facility requirements at the bottom line here. So key elements here, the total maximum day demand across the top line are those updated demands that we just reviewed. There's a 10 MGD production buffer that was developed as part of the long range plan. That's carried forward here. That's mainly there to take account of, you know, a process element out of service or one process train out of service at any given plant at any time, a little bit of buffer to take account of that. And 10% is roughly 10 MGD is roughly 10% of your existing capacity at 110 MGD. So we're carrying that forward. The production of the connected wholesale customers is that summary of the total of all the different plants that we just reviewed. The ASR production capacity, we just reviewed that a minute ago. And then toward the bottom, the Des Moines Water Works production capacity required is calculated by maximum day demand plus the production buffer minus the production of the connected wholesale customers minus the ASR production capacity. And the totals scattered through time all the way to 2040, as you see here. And then accounting for your existing Des Moines Water Works production capacity to calculate the bottom line here, the additional Des Moines Water Works production capacity required. And then we can see the numbers, and again, the red are the updated numbers from this analysis all the way out to 2040. So a couple of key points to make from that table. The near-term 2020 production deficiency is between 6.9 to 9.9 MGD due to those two ASR facilities not being constructed and operational by 2020, which effectively removes that production buffer. The deficiency 2020 would have been only 0.9 to 3.9 MGD if those two ASR facilities had been operational by 2020. Effectively would have maintained most of that 10 MGD production buffer. The 2025 production deficiency is shown between 14.6 to 17.6 MGD. That's considering that the Des Moines Water Works ASR 4 and one for West Des Moines and one for Waukee all would be online by 2025. Additional water source and treatment production capacity between 14.6 to 17.6 MGD must be provided by 2025 in addition to those three ASR facilities to maintain that 10 MGD production buffer. So the long-term 2040 production deficiency is between 51.5 and 54.5 MGD, depending on that 10 MGD production buffer and the ASR firm capacity. And again, by 2040, that's with a total of 10 ASR facilities among the metro area. Now, all these numbers that we've shown and talked about here are without major production capacity from entities other than Des Moines Water Works. And if other entities provide production capacity, then the production capacity to be provided by Des Moines Water Works decreases accordingly. So going back to the long range plan, the 2017 plan included production capacity expansion scenarios, three different scenarios. The first was to expand the Fluor plant. The second, to expand at the Sailorville plant site. And the third, to provide a new fourth water treatment plant. And with all three of those expansion, ultimate expansion scenarios, there were base treatment improvements common to all scenarios. The base treatment improvements included the rehabilitation of the Fluor plant to maintain its 75 MGD reliable capacity, a 10 MGD expansion of the Sailorville plant to a 20 MGD total capacity, a 12.5 MGD expansion of the McMullen plant to 37.5 MGD capacity, and also corresponding source water capacity improvements for those treatment improvements, as well as several other ASR storage, pumping, distribution, and transmission improvements to accompany these base treatment improvements. and the base treatment improvements, or all these base improvements, would result in a total Des Moines Water Works production capacity of 132.5 MGD. A decision must be made in the final selection of scenario 1, 2, and 3 implemented before reaching Des Moines Water Works production capacity of 132.5 MGD before year 2027 by these current projections. At that time, another 25 MGD of production capacity would be required to reach year 2037, or alternatively, another 30 MGD would be required to reach year 2040. Again, the end of the time planning horizon for the long range plan was 2040. So we did an alternative that 30 MGD would be required actually to reach that. The most desirable final scenario of the three at this time is likely the expansion at the Sailorville plant site, although that final decision certainly has not been made. The 2017 long range plan also included high priority improvements for the first 5 years of projects, a 5-year capital improvements program. And the status relative to completion of these high priority projects that were scheduled for completion by 2020 is as follows. There were 32 total projects that were scheduled to be complete by the end of 2020. There were also a couple projects that were moved ahead in that schedule. And the total of all those is 32 total projects. So 6 projects of the total are 100% complete, 19% of the total. 3 projects are about 50% complete, or 9% of the total. 4 projects are just started at 10% complete, or 13% of the total. And 19 projects out of the 32 total have not yet been started, about 59% of the total. So the majority of the high priority improvements have not yet been started and are behind the schedule of the 2017 long range plan. This table illustrates the schedule for the production capacity expansion. Just pulls information that we've seen here, I've presented before, kind of into one final table. On the left, you can see the total capacity that would be provided by each of the incremental expansion projects, with existing capacity at 110 MGD. The 10 MGD Sailorville expansion brings the total to 120. The 12.5 MGD expansion at McMullen brings the total to 132.5. And then the two different final scenario expansion alternatives. If 25 MGD of additional capacity is provided, it would get to 157.5 total. If 30 MGD final would be provided, brings the total to 162.5. The right side of the table brings forward those numbers from the previous table we reviewed that define the total production capacity required year to year in the future. And the 2020 total production capacity required was 118.4 MGD, with a total capacity provided of 110. By end of this year, 2021, that number is projected to be a production capacity required of just under 120 MGD. And if the Sailorville project at Sailorville plant was expanded and was online, that would provide 120 MGD of capacity, but that plant expansion certainly is not online yet, and not even into design yet. By 2027, the production capacity required increases to just under 132 MGD. And you can see that with a Sailorville and a McMullen expansion, really that capacity would reach to about year 2027. And then 2037, we reach almost 157 MGD. And an additional 25 MGD final expansion would reach out to year 2037. And then finally, that additional final 30 MGD alternative expansion would be required to reach all the way out to year 2040. And all of these values of production capacity required include that 10 MGD production capacity buffer. So some key points there. The two ASR facilities originally planned for completion by 2020 are not online by now and must be completed as soon as possible. One for Des Moines Water Works and one programmed for West Des Moines Water Works. The 10 MGD raw water supply and treatment expansion of the Sailorville plant must be completed as soon as possible, since the current total production capacity required exceeds the existing total capacity. And effectively, the desired 10 MGD production buffer is not available, and the existing production capacity with no buffer will be exceeded by the end of this year at 120 MGD. The 10 MGD raw water supply and treatment expansion at Sailorville would require realistically 1 to 2 years for design and 2 to 3 years for construction, or overall 3 to 5 years for completion, with that capacity online by 2023 to 2025 if the design were started immediately. And similarly, the two ASR facilities would require a similar timeline for completion of design, construction, and filling and recovery cycles to be fully online also by years 2023 to 2025. And quite frankly, realistically, likely closer to 2025 than 2023, just with the timeline of major improvements like this. Some other points: by 2025, with the Sailorville plant expansion and three ASRs, a Des Moines Water Works, a West Des Moines, and a Waukee ASR online, the production capacity required would exceed the capacity provided, effectively reducing the production buffer from 10 to only 4 MGD. And the 12.5 MGD production capacity raw water supply and treatment expansion of the McMullen plant should follow the Sailorville plant expansion as soon as possible. By 2027, the production capacity required would approach the capacity provided by that McMullen expansion with the 10 MGD production capacity buffer provided. So there's three ASRs, the Sailorville expansion and the McMullen expansion necessary to get to year 2027 and would be exceeded after that. The 25 to 30 MGD final scenario production capacity expansion, or at least an initial increment thereof, would be required to be online by 2028 to maintain that 10 MGD production capacity buffer. If these ASR and source and treatment capacity improvements are not provided on this schedule, then water shortage plan implementation may be necessary much faster to ensure that the maximum water demand does not exceed the production capacity until the necessary capital improvements can be implemented. And at the end here, kind of three main conclusions. The timeline for the high priority improvements cannot be relaxed and really must be accelerated from the schedule of the 2017 long range plan. Three water source and treatment expansions and three ASRs must be completed by year 2028, only 7 more years, to keep up with the projected water demands. That's without other major production capacity by entities other than Des Moines Water Works. And Des Moines Water Works staff should further evaluate the sequence, timing, and costs of the source and treatment expansions and the other associated storage, pumping, and distribution and transmission high priority improvements to incorporate those into the near-term CIP process. So with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
This is Diane. Oh, I have a couple of questions. One goes to the 10 MGD, the product, you call it the production buffer. Yeah. So you say it's been 10 MGD, which is roughly 10%. As we increase our demand, it stays at 10. So that's not a percentage, it just stays at 10. Can you tell me whether or not 10 is an industry planning standard? Where does that 10 come from, and why does it not increase as demand increases?
That's a good point and question. I guess we settled in on that just in our overall discussions and the planning process of the long range plan, kind of two ways. You know, 10% of the capacity, current capacity, seemed like a reasonable and prudent number. And also that 10 MGD, you know, a good example would be the McMullen plant. It's 12.5 MGD per treatment train, two treatment trains to make 25 MGD, and ultimately three treatment trains to make 37.5 MGD. So one of those trains out of service at any time is about 12.5 MGD. The Sailorville plant is a little different than that, with some more multiple trains of smaller sizes, but kind of on a rough average, that basically approximated maybe one treatment train from any of the given treatment plants offline at once. But, you know, that's a good and valid point that, you know, if we're keying in on a percentage, why isn't that buffer bumped up over time as we get to, you know, 132.5 MGD, 162.5 MGD and such? And certainly that would make the demands and production capacity required even more through time.
Did you have any other questions, Diane?
Yeah, I had a few other, but I don't want to dominate. So if somebody else wants to ask a question.
I wonder, and thank you for the very good and thorough presentation, eye-opening, no doubt. I wondered, maybe I'm jumping ahead, and Ted, you were going to do this, but I would like to hear, Ted, just kind of give us the upshot. What's the, you know, the short version of what you think it is we should be taking away from this? Certainly for me, as someone who's still relatively new to this, Ted, you and I have had some conversations about this, but I just would love to hear you kind of tell us what you think our conclusion should be as we look at this report.
You know, Joel, a couple of takeaways. I think most importantly, it's we need to realize that as a region, it's time to seriously consider expanding capacity. We have really worked through our treatment capacity buffer. We haven't had a maximum peak day for some time, but we need to understand that potential is there, and we need to begin the plan. The other thing that I think this shows is that really, regardless of the path that our regional discussions take, it's appropriate for us as Des Moines Water Works to begin considering our next expansion, really regardless of whether someone else is going to build capacity or expand capacity, because we need fairly meaningful amount of capacity over the next 7 to 10 years. And so it isn't going to be redundant. So really we are to the point now where, regardless of what happens, we need to be thinking about moving ahead with our plans. So I think what you'll see from us in our 5-year CIP that will come to you in April, recommendation that we move some of these plans forward. And then also in the budget later this year, you'll see us bring forward projects that will move us in the direction of expanding our capacity.
Ted, do we know or have any idea what we're talking about in terms of a budget or cost to be able to keep up or meet some of these scenarios that were laid out?
You know, Andrea, we certainly have costs that were included in the long-range plan. And I can't quote you, you know, dollars per year or things like that, but the five-year CIP will have dollar figures in it for these kind of projects, and they're substantial. And we'll have to figure out our funding mechanism. A lot of that depends on how we move forward with the region, but we have options that would include purchase capacity, bonding, SRF funding, but we'll certainly be considering debt to move these projects forward.
Well, I would imagine that even if regionalization is T's crossed, I's dotted by June, we probably won't be at a governing or implementation phase to really utilize the region in order to meet these schedules. So it's definitely something that we as Des Moines Water Works are going to have to move forward on ourselves and figure out how to get things started at minimum.
I agree, Andrea. I think we're to the point in the process where it's time for us to move this forward as Des Moines Water Works, and really, regardless of what other entities may do, we certainly hope that we're working together and we can move the projects together in a more coordinated or a regionally coordinated manner. But even if we can't do that, it's time for us to start moving some of our projects forward, because there's enough need over the next, you know, 7 to 10 years that it isn't going to be duplicate or redundant.
And Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not going to come as a surprise. When we did the long-term planning, that was done with all of our regional customers. So these deadlines and timeframes have been known by all of them. If there's anything that's moving along regionalization, I think it's their awareness that they've been on this planning and helped pay for it, I believe. Isn't that correct, Ted?
I don't know that they helped pay for the long-range plan. Mike McKernan might have to bail me out on that one. I believe this was Des Moines Water Works' work product, but they were certainly involved in estimating populations and projecting demands. They were certainly aware of the timelines and certainly aware that the timelines were being adjusted as we discussed what they may or may not do. So I think there's awareness. We have found out today or recently due to Mark's work that we actually need to accelerate the timeline a little bit. This is the first group to have heard that message.
Thank you.
So kind of going from there, it was mentioned that we're going to be updating the entire metro. What does that look like? What does that mean?
You know, we haven't discussed that, Andrea, to know exactly what the plan would be there. I guess we're open to input on that, but certainly want them to be aware that the timeline has shifted a little bit and we need to move forward.
Could I ask a question about the presentation? Can you go back? I don't know what slide it is. I can't see them. It was the updated need by year that you did. Yeah, that's
possibly
it.
This one? Yeah.
No, it showed what it was in the last long range plan, and then it showed updated numbers. Nope. Oh darn. Go back one more. Go try 12.
There's the
that one. 12. No, not the AS. I don't think that's it.
Maybe the.
That one. Let me see. Population and demand average and average day and max day.
I think it's interesting to note here, Diane, that both the average day and the max day actuals have been trending a little below, and in the case of max, trending quite a bit below.
Mm-hmm.
But the analysis indicates that there's still what I would call unrealized demand, especially on maximum day.
Sure.
That the population has indeed increased, and average day is pretty close, within 3% or so.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the maximum day in 2020 was some 20%, Mark, is that, am I remembering that number right?
Yeah, I think it was just a little over 20% less than projected.
Yeah.
If I put this back up again, Ted, this might help illustrate it.
Yeah.
See, I mean, there's actually been a lot higher peaks several years ago in 2012 than we had in 2020, 19, 18. And there's been real growth since then. It's just that this had the weather event to drive that extreme peak. And if we follow along with the growth, you know, it'd be even higher out here.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I understand that 2020 has been an anomaly for any number of things. And as people look at that year, you know, we may just have to throw it out in the future because of the bizarreness of what's going on. But when I look at it, I know we plan for max day, but my question goes to the philosophy has always been, and I've heard it expressed that, you know, we make a lot of money in hot years because we sell all that people want to buy. But is the philosophy changing among water utilities as it changed in the electric sector in the early 2000s, that this is a resource that it really stands to look at implementation of different efficiency programs, whether that's shifting load or whether it's water saving devices or other things to try to manage that peak? Are people talking about that? I mean, to me, as somebody who's interested in the resource, I'm very interested in starting to talk about managing that peak as opposed to just a, use whatever you want, whenever you want, and we'll just build to
education conservation programs. I hear what you're saying, and I think those are valid points that maybe we reduce the use is just as important as being building for to allow for it,
or at least starting to have those conversations, which I'm not sure we've ever had. It's always just been build for it.
Mm-hmm. Mark, do you want to respond to that from more of a global, regional perspective? I can then comment on it from a Des Moines.
Yeah, I'll start, Ted, and then carry on from my remarks maybe. But, nationally, certainly internationally, probably more so than the U.S., there's certainly more initiatives on the demand reduction side. I don't know that the water utility business as a whole is at the demand reduction initiatives that the electric industry has been through, but it's coming. And certainly in regions, in the arid regions, they are there. They certainly have done it. They've done many things to try to reduce demand because they do have such a scarce resource and they just don't have it available. In this kind of in our, what I'd classify our water-rich upper Midwest, where we haven't been really limited on the water source issues, there hasn't been as much. Although, you know, through the last even couple of decades, there have been laws that have come through that have forced water conserving fixtures, you know, shower heads, faucets, toilets, urinals, all those things that you can't buy what you used to be able to. But but it's not like those were all changed out overnight either to reduce the demand. But, you know, certainly the new construction that we've seen has those more water conserving fixtures incorporated. And then as renovations and upgrades and replacements happen, that more slowly, you know, reflects through all the older population of residential, commercial, and industrial. So some of that has happened to a degree, certainly not as much as in the, you know, the arid Southwest. Mm-hmm. Certainly not to the extent, I don't believe, that the electricity demand side attention has received.
Yeah, and I, you know, when I think about the electric side, we may go full circle, and as we have more renewable resources, you know, we may get to the point where we say, yeah, use as much as you want, because the impact of the use is not as great. But, you know, when I think about, I understand that there's a greater concern in those areas where the water resource is more scarce than in the water rich areas like here, but it costs us to clean it up.
Yep.
So
certainly,
you know, as we need to compare those costs of trying to implement some of these measures with what it costs to clean it up, and especially maybe in the next few years as we are tight, to start thinking about some of those things. And it makes me think about the simple thing that Ted was talking about. If we could get those big campuses to stagger their irrigation cycles, that would help with the peak and not everybody firing them up on Monday.
Yeah, Diane, I was going to follow what Mark said with just a couple of quick comments about Des Moines. And it's ironic, you know, our average day is about 50 million gallons per day, and our peak is about double that. But we've only had just a handful of days over 90 million gallons per day. And to think that we need to be prepared to produce 120 when we just have literally a handful of days in history when we're over 90, and you start thinking, well, okay, we're investing in 30 MGD of capacity, and it's probably cost us $6 per gallon that we're just going to use on a handful of days because people want to irrigate their water. Bill and I talked about that often. Bill actually believed the demand patterns were changing and per capita use was declining, and that he really did not favor chasing the peaks, you know, if you will, building all that capacity just to make sure everybody can irrigate and use outdoor water primarily. It's not all irrigation, let's be clear. But we have tried to encourage sensible irrigation. You know, people want to irrigate their grass, that's fine, but let's not all do it on the same day, to your point. We've already started our messaging with the sprinkler companies and the Metro Group to get everyone on board to try to shave that ultimate peak, because it can be a huge cost savings. But I do think that as time marches on and the Metro continues to grow, that that isn't going to be enough, and we're going to have to build capacity, or we're going to have a very intensive campaign related to outdoor water use or summer water use, which we haven't done.
Yeah. Well, I would be interested in pursuing that or looking further at that. Again, especially over the next few years, where we worry about the match between between demand and supply.
So after sitting in some meetings with Jen Terry, it's not just the, do we have the facilities to push this water out? Is the resource there? Is it clean? Are we not in a drought year? Do we actually have access to the resource to be able to provide it? So I also be in favor of kind of exploring some of those conservation efforts. Granted, I hear and understand that we're going to have to do the work to increase capacity, but how we might be able to do those hand in hand to at least have some effect.
Understood.
Now, I recognize the concern of, potentially overbuilding, I guess you might call it. We certainly don't want to, no one loves the idea of building a church for Easter Sunday. And yes. I am interested and do think there's probably something to the conservation efforts and, just different appliances we all have in our own homes these days that are using less water. That said, I don't want to, I'm concerned about what harm our organization would suffer when we do have days where we can't meet demand. Yep. It is unfortunate to build so much infrastructure just for, peak demand, but I'm curious. Ted, can you maybe talk about that a little bit? I haven't been around long enough to see a day or weeks when we have to restrict irrigation or put other limits in place. What potential harm could our organization suffer from having to occasionally or even regularly limit water use, whether it's irrigation or otherwise? I'm thinking not only the infrastructure, the technical challenges, but also, just maybe the trust in Des Moines Water Works and our ability to provide water. What does that look like?
Well, I think that's a great question, Joel. And I think there's a spectrum of consequences there. First and foremost, it just puts a lot of strain on the staff and the facilities when we're trying to run at peak or over peak. There's a certain amount of downtime that you always have, and trying to have everything up at the exact right time to meet that peak can be a real strain on the system. If we get to the point where we believe we're actually not able to meet the peak, we do have a water shortage plan that we would implement. There are a couple of stages in the plan that are voluntary, where we just ask people to reduce their outdoor water use by a certain percentage. And we've done that on occasion. We've encouraged wise water use, and with limited success, frankly, in terms of actually reducing those peaks. I don't think in those situations we have a lot of negative perception when we're just asking people to use water wisely and to do things voluntarily. The next step, the third step on our water storage plan is literally to prohibit turf irrigation. If we got to that point where we had to prohibit turf irrigation, which is a possibility, and not just because of, inability of the facilities, but water quality, as Andrea mentioned, sometimes the water quality is such that we just can't push it through, or mechanical failure or any of those things. I think if we got to the point where we had to prohibit irrigation, then we begin to run the risk of perception concerns and trust concerns. And if you can't supply water on any given day or enough water for us to do what we want, what does that say about your plan and your operation and management of the system? I think those are real. There's a real perception concern there. And then I think the greatest concern, or the most serious issue, is if actually one day we just weren't able to meet the demand. We weren't able to curtail demand in a way that allowed us to keep the system full. We saw that happen in Texas just a couple of weeks ago, where they had all sorts of issues ranging from equipment failures to supply chain issues to power outages and running out of fuel for their generators. And they just simply were not able to keep their system full, and it became a public health issue where They needed to, you know, the system depressurized and it was contaminated and they needed to boil water. And, I think that's the worst case scenario. That's what we as water professionals are trying to avoid it at whatever cost. And I think that would create a negative perception, a question of trust. And so we need to be looking ahead. We plan ahead. We make the asks. Sorry.
Thank you. What I'll I don't know how much time we want to spend on this. I'll tack on one more question. It's been said that we need to get moving kind of regardless of how some of our regional issues pan out. What's the risk that we have assets that we don't need if we go ahead and build and but West Des Moines launches their own Western Suburbs regional entity?
Joel, my perception is that today that risk is low. That, as you heard Mark mention, we really need to be doing our Sailorville expansion, followed almost immediately by our McMullen expansion, in addition to some ASR facilities. I think that it's unlikely that all of those things will get done at the same time on our side. I think what you'll see is us come to the board and propose that one of those things get started immediately. And likely followed shortly by a second phase. I think almost certainly by the time we would get to that second phase, that decision will be made whether West Des Moines is going to move their situation forward or whether Urbandale is. We are to the point now where we need to do both. And so whether that's two things that we do or one that we do and one that West Des Moines or Urbandale does, I don't see that we are still at risk of stranded assets. I think we've kind of waded through that time. You know, we've been patient, and now we need to be doing two things parallel. I personally do not think we have a stranded asset concern at this point, and we should move forward. And that's what I think we'll recommend to the board in the CIP and in the budget.
Does any of this work impact if West Des Moines isn't interested in still building their plants, their permitting, and their amount of water they're pulling?
I'm not sure how to answer that, Andrea. You know, we are moving in the direction of settling our appeal with them. I think we've found a common ground there that we're pleased with and that they're open to. I think they're going to have a permit that is restricted and during low flow times. And they're going to have to find an alternate source that they can use during those restricted times if they choose to move ahead. And that alternate source is going to have to be something that doesn't impact our ability. So I think we have taken into consideration our current capacity at McMullen and what we might do in the future to expand that plant as we are working with them on their water use permit. And I think that the restrictions in their permit protect us now and with an expanded plant. So I think the answer to your question is no, there's not an implication there. I think we planned for that. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you.
Being cognizant of the time and knowing we've got another meeting after this, I'll just see if anybody has any other last minute comments or questions burning to be said. If not, Ted, I'll turn it back to you and see if you want to hold your comments until our customer relations meeting.
Andrea, let's do that. I don't have anything further to add at this point.
Okay. Do we have any members of the public joining us today that have anything that they would like to share? I'm looking down through my list and I have some iPhone folks on here, but I'm not sure if those are public or...
Okay. Any guidance there, Rochelle?
Well, not hearing anybody jump up. Sorry, what was that, Michelle?
No, I'm not certain who the iPhones are.
Okay. Well, not hearing anybody jump up and speak, I'm going to assume that there are no public comments and go ahead and close this planning committee and turn it over to the folks in charge of our next meeting, customer relations.
Thanks, Mark.
Yes, thank you very much, Mark. We definitely appreciate this information.
You're very welcome. Been a pleasure working with you on this effort. Thank you.